This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We listen to MXPX, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm Kip Diego.
Hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source. It's me.
Everything.
It's me.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Stop it, Sarah!
Mick Jagger didn't talk like that. Mick Jagger talked like this. He'd go, yes! No! Yes!
Music?
I pitched him a joke and he went, not funny! I mean, people say that on the internet, but never to your face. Does a British billionaire in leather pants go, no, funny?
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun. Caroline.
Yes.
Can you describe what it was, the tag that we just heard, and kind of the impetus for that tag?
Sure. John Mulaney's got a lot going on right now, but the biggest and most important thing is that he met Olivia Munn, allegedly, at a church.
At church.
And they're dating.
And they are dating.
And we don't have any details about what church, where, how.
Mm-mm.
What do they believe? Theology? Denomination? We got none of that info. We do know it's church.
We know it's church. And this is the thing, and this is the tricky thing about discussing the private lives of these public figures and who dates who and who's married to who and divorce and whatnot. All that, you know, that's kind of none of our business. But I will say, when the source makes it abundantly clear that they met at church, well, now you just became GCF's business. So we are launching a 6-episode-long investigation. Which church is it? Are we talking about, is it Hillsong, as was, you know, imagined in the clip that we heard? Is it something a little to the left of that, like a Mosaic? Is it Church Home? Is it Zoe Church?
Is it Scientology?
Is it Bel Air Prez? Is it just, honestly, an AA meeting that happened to take place at a church? And if so, why just call it church? Why not just say they met under circumstances? I don't get the specificity. I truly don't understand. I'm not even criticizing
it. Was it a farmer's market
it.
In the parking lot
yes.
of a church? You know, it could have been any of those things.
Gracious. I kind of want to get our guest in ASAP to discuss this. Let's put a pin in it and just say Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We're not here to convert you or to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to have some good Christian fun. And the band today is MXPX, which is short for Magnified Plaid. That is the full name of the band, and MXPX is a nickname for that full name. And we have a very special guest here to talk about it and some other stuff. Friends and folks, he's our brother in Pasadena now. You may know him from his podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, or Bubble, now a graphic novel. Give it the hell up for Jordan Morris!
Wow. Hi, everybody.
Hey,
I cannot maintain this level of energy.
You gotta keep it up.
The next 90 minutes.
Hey,
smiles,
everybody.
Smile, smile. The Bubble Boy is bursting back in our lives, baby.
Wow. Yeah.
Back,
it's gonna be a, thank you. It's good to be here. There will be an energy plummet about 20 minutes in.
Sure.
That's okay.
I'll probably be the one
initiating the plummet myself. Just leave.
Caroline, always initiating the plummet. Yes, sir.
I had not heard about Mulaney X Munn.
I'm learning the newest collab.
Yeah, the hottest new collab.
We're, the celeb couple name is Munn Laney, which is clunky,
sure.
But that's what we have.
So my gut reaction when you said they met at church, but we don't know where, is like lazy publicist. Because obviously, like, you know, Mulaney, freshly divorced.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so obviously people are probably thinking like, oh, did this overlap? Did she, you know, did Olivia Munn's presence have something to do with the breakup? So, I mean, obviously, I think the publicists want to make sure, you know, that their clients stay, you know, in everyone's good graces. So they're like, what do we say? They met at a milk drinking contest.
Oh, my gosh.
A fundraiser.
a puppy saving class. That's no, church, you know.
Jordan, I think you are so right. I'm so glad you're here as an entertainment professional. I think you've nailed it on the head. Wow. That makes so much more sense. Yes, because it is suspiciously close to a divorce announcement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of work we got to do there to keep the reputation intact.
Well,
and church is such a lazy catch-all. But little did they know how curious that was going to make most of us.
Right. You know, I even think there's so much negative association in the circles that would value Mulaney with the institution of church. Mulaney is like the god for our alt. Like, he's not Joe Rogan or something, you know what I mean? He's not someone that, like, he's not like Chappelle. What are you saying, Caroline?
Nothing.
I think he is Joe Rogan for public radio listeners.
That's
Mulaney
so
is a Joe oh Rogan type figure for
overeducated
someone who drinks a lot of
people.
Oat milk.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Mulaney, Rogan for oat milk drinkers.
And I should say I think Mulaney is a very funny guy.
Love
and
him.
I wish him well
milk.
On his journey towards sobriety.
Of yes. course. Of course, of course. I remember his update pieces when he looked like a 12-year-old back in 2005 when he would do I Like It from the Weekend Update desk before we knew nary a hair of his stand up on a wider spectrum. But here's the thing. There is an investigation to be had, truly. I was talking with our friend Tyler Huckabee about this, and he pointed out to me that Olivia Munn, while promoting a horror movie called Deliver Us From Evil, there's a movie called Deliver Us From Evil, directed by Scott Derrickson, famous Christian, who also wrote and directed Doctor Strange, and he's on record saying, I love the horror genre because it has to do with, like, demons and they're real. I'm a Christian.
I consider these documentaries.
Yeah, basically. So Munn said, while promoting that movie, I didn't believe in the supernatural before this movie. And now she says, I'm a full believer now.
Whoa.
After doing the movie.
Yeah, but isn't that like every actor? Like, beliefs in that.
I'm just saying.
I see what you're saying. I know you're trying to draw some lines.
This is admittable evidence in the red twine board of which church in LA could this be.
Olivia Munn talks so much. I'm sure she has talked about going to church at some point. Like, we could find it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, or have her on the podcast or something. I don't know.
Ooh, I like
I don't know. She likes video games. We could talk to her about that. G4. Do y'all remember that? What was it? Attack of the Show? Was that the
Attack of the
show?
Yes, I think she's famous for her cosplay on that show.
That man, that was college. I remember watching that in college. So, I mean, regardless.
Yeah, get her on here to talk about Bible Adventures. The blue NES game Bible Adventures.
Did you have this game, Jordan? It sounds like.
No, but I played it at the Gaspar's house. The Gaspar's were the, like, very religious family that we were friends with who tried to convince me that dinosaurs didn't exist.
Okay.
Oh,
I remember.
Didn't exist?
Didn't
exist. Was the video game part of their case?
Yeah.
Like, see?
Yeah, I think they were like we can only consume Christian media family.
Right.
So a lot of McGee and Me, that's where I first saw McGee and Me.
Sure. Yeah, me.
Was at the Gaspar's.
Remember me, Jordan? Do you hear this voice in your head at night?
Oh god. Oh no, why am I horny?
He's back.
Wait,
McGee made you horny?
Yeah, I'm horny now in your adult life. I'm the horny demon.
Oh, I'm learning some things. Rod Gaspar, because I was a dinosaur kid, and he told me that dinosaurs were a creation of the museum industry.
Okay, the industry, big museum, okay. The lobbyists.
There's big oil, big steel.
Okay.
Wow, anyway. The museum industry has created dinosaurs. That would be actually a really, really cool long-term way to market your museum. It's just like create a new creature.
Right. People aren't showing up to look at these stuffed buffaloes like they used to.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, you know, and that's crazy. Kevin and I went and saw those bones ourselves at the New York Science Museum.
We did. That was a fun time.
That was pretty really cool. But those bones did look pretty fake now that I think about it.
Yeah. I did touch it and it crinkled like tinfoil.
Right. It was like paper mache.
That was a weird experience. Now this could be a good, Jurassic Park : Dominion, not out yet. They were shooting during COVID with that big old cast back at it again. Maybe that's the storyline. Maybe it's like, you know what?
And Jurassic I made
it
all Park, up. Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah. An Inconvenient right. Park. Perhaps.
It should be Chris Pratt should just look into the camera and say the world is only 2,000 years old and then all the dinosaurs evaporate and then they just have crumble. A nice time.
Now the thing is,
Chris Pratt would love that.
Yeah, there's already existing footage of Chris Pratt saying the world is only 2,000 years old.
What?
I'm sure.
No way.
I'm sure. Yeah, big time famo Christian.
Yeah.
He might not be a young Earth creationist, though. We don't know that.
God is
Wait, Jordan,
real?
What did you do when the gas bars told you that your favorite thing wasn't even real?
I was not a fighter, and I think that the conversation happened because of the TGIF show Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Not the mama.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, gotta love
gotta
me.
Love gotta love me.
Or as the Republican said in 2008, not Obama. Gotta love McCain.
Not Obama. Gotta vote for McCain.
Obama.
I had to vote for him. It was too cute.
That was McCain's actual like tie-in. I almost said I would have voted for him, but the truth is I did vote for him.
You did. You already did. Yeah, you didn't need it.
It's sad. I have regrets in life. It's okay. We're growing and learning.
We all learn. We all grow.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah. But yes, dinosaurs.
So I was not a fighter, so I think I just like kind of internalized it and then maybe wrestled with it being true or not. And I think I eventually decided that I thought there were dinosaurs. I considered Rod Gaspar's theory that it was the museum industry. Just
why would
trying
he
to get
lie
my,
to you? You know.
I think he believed it. I think he genuinely believed it. Maybe he, dropped a bunch of money at the Natural History Museum and on dinosaur souvenirs and like this is a scam.
Yeah, he's like I was extortion. Somehow I ended up with too many dinosaur plushies at the end of my visit, and that's not my fault.
What am I going to do with all these Stegosaurus plushies?
Yeah, that felt like projection, actually, ultimately. Victim blaming in a way.
Oh my gosh, I just can't imagine, like, if when I was little, someone was like, yeah, princesses never existed. And
there's
that's
never
just
been a princess.
The Disney company. Well, that's actually sort of true. But
they're an invention of the conical hat industry. Trying to sell you a conical hat
really
with a streamer at the end.
A crown and a throne never existed until Little Mermaid in 1989. Now, if I was Rod Gaspar, I would announce my entry into every room I walk in by saying, I am Rod Gaspar. Hi, everybody. And now I'm here.
It took me a second, but I'm glad I did the work to get that. Because it...
And when I'm hanging out with someone, really I say, delivered. You got a gas bar. Here I am. Let's hang out.
Oh, you switch it.
Gonna make my kids play Bible Adventures.
Even
was that game fun?
No, Bible Adventures is very bad. It's it's a bad game. It only
Noah
has one song
Moses?
That plays in all the in all the levels, so the song gets very repetitive.
I think
there's like a Moses level. There's a Noah level.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Lot's wife level.
How did this get played? That podcast, I think they covered it.
They did.
Were you on that
our
episode,
friend,
Jordan?
Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, no, okay, boy, was, okay. I wish.
Wait, like, what's wait, that? Okay. Was I on the episode? Is what you?
No,
asked?
I was like, what if I forgot that Jordan was the guest on that
episode
and was like, hey, did you know about this?
I had to do Battletoads.
Okay. Whew.
Yes, but future friend of the show, Nick Weiger, also host of that show. Matt Apodaca's been on here a few times, too.
Oh, yeah? Hey. What did he do? What did Apodaca, what was his pop culture?
What was his pop culture? Oh, we made him listen to Bob Dylan.
And then,
some of our first, during the Demi episodes, we made him watch, I Still Believe, the biopic of Jeremy Camp. About a real worship leader whose wife had a deadly illness and passed away. And then he married a new girl in the last 5 minutes of the movie.
From and the hottest casting of a real life person.
Yes, Archie,
in the movie
KJ
ever.
Apa.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It'd be funny if he just married Olivia Munn at the end.
Can you imagine? I know the divorce guy stuff. I just realized our theme song, Caroline, is just a monument to divorced men.
Oh yeah,
it is.
It's me.
Why didn't you unmatch me?
Five Sporting Goods.
I feel like that's when men really come alive. You know, they really start to wild out and test the boundaries of who they really are.
Well, I can't wait to get divorced so I can come alive.
Yeah,
man.
Me neither. Yeah. That's
when this butterfly will emerge from its chrysalis.
You haven't lived until you got divorced as a man.
Maybe horny summer 2021 should actually be divorce summer.
Divorcey summer.
Right.
Divorcey summer 2021.
Yeah. Could we get married? And because I guess it's still technically spring, right? I mean, we're recording this in May. So could we get married and divorced by the time horny summer starts, so it can just be as horny as it can possibly be?
Ooh, I should do that. Hey, listeners, if any of y'all are down, let's do a quickie, like, marriage and divorce, just so
that Kevin can then, like, in the summer, get a bunch of tattoos and, like, post irrational things online because he's drunk. Yeah.
8-minute-long Instagram videos. Shout out to my fans.
Date B-list women. It's gonna be great.
Wait, B-list women? What the hell?
That seems to be the track. I don't know. I'm not saying that's your fault.
Well, my track. No, I think it's less about their star status than it is the age bracket. And it just so happens that we live in a patriarchy. Actually, isn't it interesting that I'm aware of this?
What's that?
We live in a patriarchy and a society in which oftentimes after a certain age, women become B-list unless they're character actresses. Now, I did contemplate starting.
Why did you speak that with such authority? That is not true.
What do you mean?
So many A-list women past 40. Are you kidding me?
Name one.
Think about it for like 2 seconds, Kevin.
No, you can't. I bet you can't name one woman past 50 who's still A-list.
Let me just crack open your journal and I'll find a list of the top 10.
You can't think of one. And if you do, I'll eat my hat.
Listen, there's plenty of sexism in Hollywood, but women past 40 are still A-list often.
Often, yes.
Power to them. Anyway.
Speaking of which, and just like trying to shoehorn it back into the concept of our show, I did hear from co-hosts of another podcast that I did. I was a guest on their show, and off mic we were talking about how Margot Martindale was a family friend of one of the girls. And she said, yeah. And she's, you know, we would see her at church, you know, during Easter and Christmas. I'm like, hang on. Are we saying that there's any sort of connection to Miss Margot Martindale and the faith?
So close.
If so, let's get this party started.
I'm going to need that contact card.
Listen, she's verified on Instagram, but I don't think she has more than like, you know, 50,000 followers. That feels like slidable in the DMs. Hey, Margot, come on the show.
If you're able to land her while we're recording, I will happily jump off the Zoom and let her review like, MXPX's 1995 album, Teenage Politics.
She's like, I actually have a lot of takes about Scott Herrera. or Mike Herrera, excuse me. Excuse me. Respect on the name to MXPX.
Come on.
My bad. Jordan, you were last on the show in 2018, right?
Yes.
I think it was 3 years ago. That's 3 years ago still, right? I can do three years ago if it's 2018, but 2019 is still last year for me. 2020 is still this year, but 2018 is 3 years ago.
Right.
So listen, life is a journey. What's changed the last 3 years for you?
Well, I got into breakfast burritos.
And you got into a certain zip code along with us.
I got a switch. Exciting.
And you got a switch.
And that's about it. You're caught up.
Okay, great.
No, but I mean, spiritually speaking, when we're talking about issues of faith, I know you've evolved in these significant ways for sure over the last street. I'm like really trying to lead him to water. Like, I know you've like really evolved in your faith
there,
and you've
man.
Gone through deserts right. and valleys yes. and
uh-huh.
peaks.
Uh-huh. I'm my trying- trials. I yes, there were some money lenders in the temple. Ooh, I let Whoa. Those guys have it.
Wow.
I want yeah, I no, you go ahead.
Yeah, I guess something that I did for myself that I am proud of myself for is I really, despite getting super into breakfast burritos, like really changed my diet and exercise last year. Nice. I really like took a look at what was going into my body
mm-hmm.
and yeah. decided that it was mostly bad.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I had a healthy quarantine. I don't know. Nice. I know a lot of people did not, and I think that is okay. Self-care, it's a beautiful yeah. thing. Do your yeah. do what you need to. But yeah, that was kind of interesting. And I discovered I kind of like running. I didn't think I would like running, but I'm actually kind of into it.
Caroline, there is a man who has moved not too far from me, basically down the street from where I live, who's also into running in Pasadena, California.
I mean, sorry Kevin, to if dox you don't you, believe Jordan. In God now, I don't know what else you need. Like, literally blessings raining down from heaven on you right now.
Taking care
you
of
got
his...
Dexter, Peloton.
Shut up.
Neighbor with a run. Ice machine. Vaxxed without a mask. I mean, it's like, could anything be going better for you yeah, right now?
I didn't even talk to you about Palm Springs yet, did I?
Palm Springs?
Yeah.
You watched the Hulu movie Palm Springs?
I finally let myself. I didn't Springs. Want to oh, until now.
You deserve
now.
It. You've been so
thank
good.
You.
Watch
thank
Palm
you, thank
Springs.
You, thank you.
Watch Mank. Watch the WeWork
yeah,
documentary.
Yeah, the most intuitive double feat of 2020. Palm Springs and Mank, a double shot and chaser. Okay.
Wait, so Jordan, you're running. Are you feeling good? And do you feel like that has changed your mind about loving the Lord?
Christianity?
you know, I think that I am amazed at what the human body can do. I think yes. it's a beautiful machine.
Mm-hmm.
I am impressed.
Temple. You mean to say temple.
It's a temple. Yes, a beautiful temple.
Yeah, thank
I
you.
Think I would probably still consider my position agnostic, but I think that you know, there's just a lot of wonder and mystery in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's nice.
Think all of our capacity for wonder and mystery has increased significantly in the past 15 months.
Right.
I've been full of wonder and mystery of what's going on in the world at all.
Sure.
This last year. And
I wonder if it will get better or worse.
I wonder if I'll die today.
Sure. A concern.
Mm-hmm. So I love it. And as aforementioned, you did make the move to Pasadena.
I did make the move. I am now a Pasadena. You two were a big part of that.
Yes.
Yeah, we were kind of huge for you. I mean, no, you had other friends in Pasadena. I mean, you're friendly probably with Miss Bamford a little bit, or acquaintances, friends of friends.
Yeah, no, I'm friendly with Bamford. I don't think Bamford and I will hang out. My friend Jen lives here.
Mm-hmm,
she's
mm-hmm.
great. We went to a bar called Lucky Baldwin's. That was my first
of
bar
course.
I went to after the vax.
That's
Caroline,
great.
He is one of us. This rules.
All the hits.
Yeah. What are
your
the Pasadena tips? What do I need to hit up in order to become a real Pasadenian?
Oh,
well, I gave you some of them. Jameson Brown Coffee, which I know you said you frequented a handful of times.
Home run.
Over there on Locust and Allen. Caroline's a big fan of the Arboretum, the Huntington Garden.
Yes, I think that's an absolute must. It's a world-class museum and mm-hmm. garden space. It's like, you don't even have to go and look at the art. You can just probably spend 2 or 3 hours walking the entire grounds and have like a beautiful time, especially right now because all the roses are in bloom and all the flowers are in bloom. And so it's just like smells incredible there. You got to go. There's also the Norton Simon Museum, which is a really good
one.
Lovely
place, yes.
The Gamble House, which you did goat yoga at, is like a great place. There are just so many museum and like historical institutions in this town that are great.
Every other building in Pasadena seems like somewhere you could go on a field trip.
Yeah. There's
fully.
And there's like plaques everywhere. So much
a lot
history.
Of plaques.
They're very good at preserving that.
And Caroline, just give, if you could, just give Jordan maybe like your top five churches in the area.
Top five churches. Let's hear them.
Yeah.
There's a billion churches.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Just rank them by size. Number one, Lake Avenue Church. Observable from the freeway, the 210 freeway.
Yeah. There's some big boys. There's some chonky churches.
There's some dummy thick churches in Pasadena. I'll tell you that much. That one across from City Hall with the big old steeple.
Ooh, that steeple.
That's right.
It's wide. That's what I like about the steeple. It's wide.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guys, where are the babes?
Where Pasadena.
Where are the babes? You know what I'm talking about.
You're going to have to come
babes?
Back down to my apartment building, Jordan. Okay. There's only one babe in town, and it's me.
Choo-choo.
I don't know. There are like a lot of colleges in town, too. So you'll see the babes are out and about.
If you want some seminary studying babes, you got to go to Copavita.
Yeah. Actually,
Green. And, I mean,
Fuller
you know
Seminary.
I do, my friend.
You're going to find some really straight-laced, cool, smart, and
a woman
babes.
That will lead you, not the other way around. And that's what we won in 2021.
Yes.
The Pasadena Bay. I don't know. I just assume no one
that
in Pasadena
was
is young.
I was just being like a cool dude. You don't like actually have to
like
a
cad. No, like that kind of cad like character that you know. Slip into a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you know my famous character.
Jordan, I know you avert your eyes whenever you see a babe.
I do?
In real life, yeah. Oh. Is it Jordan?
Oh, both of us do. Well, yeah, that's something I do,
I'm sorry,
too.
Madam.
And we need more Pasadena podcaster pals on this side of town, which is a little less pressing right now, but come like 8 to 10 months from now, it's going to get a little pressing again.
Yeah, like, I think so, too.
Schlep over to Gorley's, go over to Jordan's, head on over to Caroline's or Kevin's.
Do a little podcast crawl, maybe. Maybe it's like a SantaCon type thing. But, you know, you go to somebody's house, you do a cast, do a shot, head on over to the next person's house.
Oh, my gosh.
Hopefully that Bradley Whitford will have started his podcast by then.
Ugh,
you can go crawl over there.
Crawl to Whitford's.
Well, Jordan, I'm glad you've grown in the Lord so much these last 3 years. And
thank you.
It's wonderful to hear your spiritual journey ever evolving, ever changing.
I'm so full of the Spirit.
And it's moving every day. And the Spirit moved you out to our neighborhood, which
yeah,
we're
I can't
very
wait to see what
for.
God's got planned for you here.
Yeah. Let me home. Let me through the desert.
To another desert.
Through the parted Red Sea.
Literally a valley. God led you to a valley.
Beautiful. Boy.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into this week's topic. Come on, let's go. Now, remind us and the listener again, Jordan, about what your Christian media diet was. You were an Orange County kid, and
yes,
so you're mostly involved in that sort of scene, in that kind of genre of music, right? Like ska, punk, Five Iron Frenzy.
Yes.
Little OC Supertones, maybe the Insiders.
A little OC Supertones. It was Orange County. It was the 90s. Mm. We were all wearing suspenders and bowling shirts with somebody else's name on them.
And you were skanking, and skanking is like, you know, David dancing and, you know, King David as he was dancing in the street. Y'all were doing that in Orange County.
Yes, King David, the first rude boy. They called him the first rude boy.
He did some rude things, I will say.
He was rude. Pretty rude.
Pretty rude.
Honestly,
yeah,
I'll say it. So the last time... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, good. I was going to ask if you all were hating on Bill Clinton a lot back in the 90s in Orange County.
Hating on Bill Clinton.
It's a conservative area.
Yeah. You know? That's interesting. I don't think I... So Orange County, and of course Orange County now is its own thing, where no one wanted to wear a mask and it was very concerned about their personal freedoms.
Yes.
But I think the Orange County of my youth was a little bit chiller of a place. I think now it's a little extra, but I think then it was like kind of chill surfer dudes, and the Christianity was pretty casual. Pretty much just like, hey, you know, this is just a place where we come to like thank God because we have a lot to be grateful for, and the pastors were in Hawaiian shirts. And yeah,
if everybody got together and just had a breakfast burrito, man, like it would be good.
Sure.
And now the Christianity is a little more militant.
Yeah, it is a little more terrifying, I would say. it was nice. I definitely like... So I think the stuff that was around was like the Christian version of the stuff that was on like modern rock radio. So like last time I was on the show, we did Five Iron Frenzy's debut album, I believe.
Upbeats and Beatdowns, Caroline loves them.
Caroline, yep.
and then Jordan, I did tell you we had Reese Roper on the show, and he said, I hate Five Iron Frenzy. I think he was kidding, though. It was like an interesting interview that we did with him.
I'm sure he's an interesting dude because they've been like active recently, right? Like they made an album.
They put
album
out a new
recently.
Album like within the last year.
But then, you know, kind of, you know, obviously there was the ska sound with the trumpets and the skanking, but then there was like the pop punk sound. Your Blink-182s, your Green Days, your Descendants, your NoFX's, your Pennywise's. I think the Christian version of that sound was most exemplified by MXPX, three fellas from the Pacific Northwest. I definitely remember that this kind of crossed over in a way that your Supertones and Five Iron Frenzy did not. Like, you would hear some of this stuff on modern rock radio and MTV back in the day.
And not even just modern rock radio and MTV, but you would also hear it on the Scooby-Doo soundtrack, because MXPX did do Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? They're on a little riff of that. This is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? By MXPX. From the movie in 2002. There's no words in this one. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that cut?
I just remember that song. Yeah, I remember thinking that was so rad.
That movie was a big deal when it came out.
It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
My sister had an MXPX CD, and she was like my primary source for music for like... my childhood, you know, I didn't have any taste or access to anything yet. And I didn't know that it was a Christian band. All I thought was like, why is my sister listening to this, like this rock band that seems way too satanic? I was concerned.
Satanic. Right. That's interesting.
I think my sister inherited my MXPX CDs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I also thought it was like kind of badass, you know? I didn't know where I stood on it.
I think I got confused by the title, and I was thinking of the comp and the thing that they do in Christian bookstores where it's, if you like this band, then you may also like, if you like XYZ, then you'll like Jars of Clay. And I thought it was like the Christian version of NOFX, because, or NOFX, right, as some people call it, because of the similarity of the names. Mm-hmm. And that was just four letters, and one of them was X, you know? So I was like, it's the same, right? And I did get into Insider Supertones, Frenzy, and the W's. Did you listen to the W's?
They were like the swing band, right? Like they were the big bad voodoo would never pop a cherry daddies.
Oh.
Never Papa Cherry Daddies. That was the W's to a T.
Except on the wedding night.
Of course, in covenant context.
Bible study.
That's right. So I was also sort of instinctually or natively repelled by it when I was a kid. I was like, oh, that seems like a little radioactive. I think I had your attitude, right, Caroline. We're like,
yeah,
well,
like,
this might
seems something wrong about it.
A little,
yeah,
too hardcore. They say they're Christians, but I don't know. Are they?
I'm gonna need to see you take the communion before I believe that.
I need some like a vaccination card of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Yes. So as Jordan mentioned, they are from the Pacific Northwest, from Seattle. Or not from Seattle, they're from Washington, Bremerton, Washington. Founded in 1992 when they were children. They were 15 years old when they first started.
Just kids.
One of my favorite details about them is that Herrera's mother, Michelle, was their business manager. So their mom, like there's often husband and wife manager duos with that sort of thing. But he had a son mommy manager situation.
He had a momager way back before Kris Jenner was driving. She didn't have a driver's license yet.
So we're going to do something we do on the show sometimes, Jordan, which is a reading from our Bible, which is the Encyclopedia of Contemporary Christian Music by Mr. Mark Allen Powell. And there is an MXPX section that's kind of lengthy. I'll boil it down. He starts with a real... banger of a sense. MXPX is the most popular Christian punk band of all time, though their Christian and their punk credentials have been challenged by the would-be purists of both stripes, which might be true. I think they are probably the most successful Christian punk band of all time. If you had to put a name on it, I don't know who else would like transcend that. The group formed in Bremerton. They were all still in high school. It was short for Magnified Plaid, deriving from a comment that one of Mike Herrera's girlfriends made about a shirt he was wearing that featured a large plaid design. So they're like,
what a fun origin story.
So well, lame.
Look at that. Magnified plaid over there.
That's all what's going on when you're 15.
They're 15. That's the
thing. I know. Sure. Yeah, it's fine.
I also like, as a fan of like punk music, it is interesting like that, you know, there are guys still in the bands that they were in, like in high school, and they just have to like tour with their high school band, and they're still just like 50-year-old guys who are like, to their fans, their name is Smelly, you know?
Yes,
because like, they picked that dumb name when they were like, "Well, this is Smelly."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
That hey, is... all my Smelly fans, thanks for sticking with us. I have 5 children now. They're all adults, yeah, but I still rock for Smelly all the time.
It's hilarious. And like, you know, aforementioned, it's such a cliche. I am a big Springsteen fan. And there is something beautiful, I think, to the fact of like, the band that he plays with is the same band that he was playing with in 1975, give or take a couple of deaths. Yeah, sure. But like Steven Van Zandt.
Little Steven?
Little Steven, he met when he was 14 years old. They were both 14 and 15 years old. And he's playing next to him at 71 years old. And that's just like a wild thing to think about. Of like, yeah, I'm going to know this person and work with them kind of a lot for 5 decades.
Yeah.
But I will say the thing about that sort of music is that even though it is like a rock genre, it does, there's an elasticity to how you can mature and evolve and like wear more adult clothes. Whereas in punk, the whole thing is like, yeah, in a way where, yes, you are Smelly at 55 or whatever. Yeah. And MXPX is still a band. They are kind of active. I think they put out an album last in like 2018.
Yeah, they actually have a single that came out this year that I thought was pretty good.
Wow. Oh, it's good. Hey, great.
In October of last year, they did a full concert live stream Between This World and the Next. That was their last concert.
And I think like Frenzy, they had a kind of a successful Kickstarter album too. I think they did a Kickstarter for something.
That's the path. Powell goes on to say, they caught the emerging melodic punk wave of which Green Day and The Offspring would prove to be major exponents. Indeed, some of MXPX's songs sound so much like Green Day, it is questionable whether Billy Joe himself could tell the difference.
Whoa.
But the band did develop, and Herrera's uncanny knack for the melodies helped the group gain mainstream respect with favorable reviews in Rolling Stone, Spin, AP magazines. And it was one of those things, he does break down like their Christianity roots. Asked in 97 if they were a ministry band, Herrera replied, I guess we're ministers in the fact that God uses us in some way, but I don't consider myself a preacher or anything. By 2000, they had gained a prominent national reputation as a mainstream group with fading connections to the Christian music scene as such, though they continue to be upfront about their faith. And I think Herrera said on a podcast in 2015 that he identifies not as a Christian anymore, but as agnostic. So he is not.
He's out.
He's out. Yes. We voted him off Christ Island. Unfortunately, he didn't.
He's drifting over to Satan's Peninsula.
That's right. Yeah, which I went to in Palos Verdes a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Beautiful Hell country. Harbor. The name, it gets a bad rap.
Gracious. So we talked about a few albums to potentially do on the show, Jordan. This was one of them. There was another one we were talking about. Was that one that made more, like, was that more of a personal impact album for you, the one you listened to over and over? Or are you kind of like into all of their stuff?
I think I was into two of their albums. So I was into the first one I sent you was the one I had first, and it is called Life in General, and has a very cool cartoon cover with some jocks beating up some punks.
Yes.
So you know, MXPX did kind of like, they did harness that, like, hey, it's us against the jocks, you know, like it's us, the Christians against the jocks.
Lots of jock imagery.
And then there's also, this is their second album, I believe it is called Teenage Politics. And I thought this one would be kind of fun for the show because I think it has the most, like, it like has, they say Bible verses in it. It has the most like overt kind of Christian stuff in it.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be a fun, and I think by that next album, the one with the jocks beating up the punks, they were kind of like, you know, we're nice boys who don't swear and we don't sing about drinking or drugs, but we won't say Jesus. I think it was they pulled a Creed by that third album.
Yeah, where it's like kind of squeaky clean, but low key, and you almost don't notice it. But then when you do, you're like, oh yeah, Jim Gaffigan doesn't say the F word. It's like one of those.
he has 12 kids.
Yeah. He talks about how much he loves his wife and kids.
Right.
Jordan, you mentioned one of the album covers, and I think it is maybe worth discussing, even just briefly,
please,
of like this cartoon character they use as like their signature guy, I guess?
Yeah.
Mascot?
So I would say that the MXPX for the first part of their career are ripping off a band called The Descendants. The Descendants are a very like credible early, you know, 70s punk band. And a lot of the songs on this have like, oh, they're just trying to do this Descendants song.
Oh, that's not it.
Descendants and the George Clooney movie showed up.
Yes, it is.
Like, oh,
you know, the band is actually with an E, D-E-S-C-E-N-D-E-N-T-S.
Oh, these guys.
So, okay, so Descendants has this little guy called Milo. He's supposed to be a cartoon of the lead singer. And, you know, I think MXPX, you know, grew to be their own thing, but these early albums are just kind of imitations of other punk bands, and I think they came up with this spiky haired little cartoon guy that became their logo, just because I would guess they're such huge Descendants fans. So
Caroline, if we were to do the same for the podcast, if we were to cast like a little cartoon character, what kind of creature would it be? A human? Would it be an animal? Would it be like a little kid that can't stop J&O? Like, what would
it would be like? Yeah, it would be McGee, but like he's naked and he's doing like the Calvin and Hobbes pissing thing. Like,
well, pissing, but he's not pissing.
Exactly.
So our cartoon, to be clear, our cartoon mascot for GCF is McGee jacking off and nutting
onto a Chevrolet logo.
But turned away. And Yeah, just blasting rope across the sea.
On a cross.
Well, if any industrious listeners want to take a crack at it, be our guest. Be our guest.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, we probably could. I just think we probably could, because I don't think anyone's looking at the McGee and Me copyright lately, you know?
Oh, it might be public domain.
I think it might be.
Shit, we could just write a McGee and Me movie.
What if we... What
a
if
dark
we
McGee
it?
And Me movie.
I'm going to voice him.
Sure.
Here's the thing. We're going to do it, but then it's not going to be like a legal team or some media company. It's going to be McGee that comes after us, and I don't know if we can yeah. stand that
oh,
heat
no,
on
no,
our
no.
tails.
I can't take the mental
that,
torture.
That might be a lot. That might
that
be a lot.
That would break me.
Yeah, and also we forgot to mention, but just kind of painting the picture of the Christian music scene. This was a big tooth and nail records band. We
Tooth
talked about
Nail,
Pedro
yeah.
the Lion before. We haven't talked about that much Tooth and Nail stuff on the album, just because I think for Caroline and I, it's just not usually our bag when it comes to genre, the kind of stuff that they do. But there was interesting stuff going on in the sense of, like, obviously the aesthetic. And I do remember that spiky head little punk nerd from even mm-hmm. when I was a kid. And I did appreciate, this was informed by the friends I had at the time, but it did feel like when there was this homogenous version of Christianity that I think I and most of the world had in mind when it comes to, like, how to live out your faith, there were these, like, literal alternatives of, like, no, you can kind of do this and you can kind of keep this flavor. And those are especially meaningful when you're a kid and so much of your taste is just an aggregate of the art that you enjoy. And I remember having friends that were around my age that really were gravitated towards this sort of thing. And I was happy that they had that they didn't have to whittle down or subsume the truest and most authentic parts of their personality for the kind of mothership of what Christianity was supposed to be at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's got to be some Christian goths, you know? Called some, the Goth Bowl.
Caroline, I knew so many Christian goths. I knew so many at that church, Lyndale Assembly of God Church in Houston, Texas.
That's a lot.
And they were my friends. Go ahead, Jordan.
I remember Tooth and Nail had their own version of Warp Tour a year. I think it was only a 1 year thing. I could be wrong, but it was like an outdoor festival, like a Warp Tour, like a Lollapalooza, but with just Tooth and Nail bands. And I think that's the first time I saw MXPX. But there was also a Christian death metal band called Living Sacrifice.
Whoa!
And I still think that is, like, the greatest. If you're gonna name a Christian death metal band, nothing better than Living Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And it was just a guy going, bruh, 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 and it's like. I will assume there's no swearing in that. I will assume he's lifting up the Lord with his
growling. And we should say, you know those commercials for Zatarain's Rice where he goes, jazz it up with Zatarain's. It was that guy. And that was just
his side gig. Oh, wow. It's the guy from Living Sacrifice?
Yeah.
Is now the Zatarain's guy?
Yeah. It was both. Or yeah, it was one, then the other. I forget the order. But yes, he did both gigs. Yeah. Okay. He was a multi-hyphenate. You have to be.
Well, yeah. These days, nobody can specialize in
anything. Oh, listen. You can't. No. Oh, there's no way. You can't just have one podcast. you gotta have at least three. Mm-hmm. The thing about this album, it is 19 songs long. None of them exceed 3.5 minutes. The average length is probably 2. Maybe 2:10, 2:20.
Yeah.
What were the most salient tracks for you when you were a kid, Jordan? I think the standout track from this was Punk Rock Show, rock spelled with a W, of mm-hmm. course. That was like the breakout hit. Should we maybe listen to
Let's listen to a little punk. It was definitely the one I remember.
Absolute. So you just imagine music to Caroline Deers right now. She's
ways to go. Let's go to the punk rock show. Darling, take me by the hand. Gonna see a punk rock band. There's no yes in TV shows. Radio, rodeo. Wanna get into the crowd. Wanna hit play real loud. We ain't got no place to go, so let's do the fun show. Darling, take me by the hand. We're gonna see it for our band. Let's use the team shows. Radio, rodeo.
And so on and so forth. But yes, I couldn't tell because I'm just not that much of a connoisseur of pop, or excuse me, of punk, other than, like, real, like, at this point, 40-year-old songs by The Clash or Joe Strummer or something. But in the sense of
good stuff. That's the foundation. Sure.
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. But just in the sense of I couldn't under, I didn't have context for how they were playing with structure or form at all, in the sense of like, is this more melodic than people were used to in 1995 when this album came out? Were they doing something? Was it less? Caroline has some thoughts on it.
Yeah, I gave this a re-listen kind of yesterday. I kind of drove around with it. I ran with some of it. Listened to it, and I think, you know, and then I kind of went into their like, oh, what have they been doing lately? Because I have not kept up with the band. As I said, they had a single recently that I thought was pretty good. So I think it is okay to talk about this album and with the understanding that it sucks. It's hard to listen to. I think it's bad. It has some really embarrassing lyrics. It has not aged well. I think they turned into a good band. Mm-hmm. I think that they found their own thing. This is them imitating stuff. Embarrassed for me.
No. I'm just grateful to hear you say it.
Yeah. So I think let's put it out on the table. And again, I don't know, maybe if they listen to this, I do think MXPX, you've done good work. I have a list of 5 great MXPX songs I can list at the end of the show.
But
I do think that this album was hard to listen to and pretty bad and embarrassing.
Listening to it a couple times through today, there is a blend that happens that sometimes in the best albums that you listen to, songs, there's a, you know, the track listing, the order is so important, how they flow into one another.
Yes, exactly.
And this was just
a story.
Yeah, and this was more like when you're sick and you vomit once and you're like, no, I think I got all of it. And it's like, nope, I'm not done.
But then you smell the vomit and that makes you vomit again.
Right.
Yeah.
So which of these songs is the dry heave of the album then?
I think Dolores. Dolores would be the dry heave of the album. Yeah.
There's and I think you mentioned length of songs. You know, they don't typically exceed 3 minutes. I say, can we get it down to 70 seconds? Can we get 19 tracks? How about 10?
What if MXPX wrote jingles full time? They didn't do songs, you see.
Right? Yeah. You know what's a good length for them? The Scooby-Doo theme song.
Honestly, like a perfect format for them. Like, take songs that we know and do them in your voice.
God.
It is like punk rock without any specificity. And that song that we listened to, Punk Rock Show, I think just typifies it really well. And obviously there's some charm to that song. There's a sing-along quality. And I would not be surprised if they still busted that out live. But like... It's just like, let's go to the show. Hold my hand and go to the show. It's like, I don't know. And punch a cop, fuck the government. Like, I don't know. Like, throw in some opinion. Like, it's, you know.
Well, but Jordan, some of these songs are very much fuck the government and fuck America, which I was a little surprised by, honestly.
There are a couple of like, you know, very like punk of the time. Why do we have to die for our country? Which
I have to have a job?
Right,
etc. Uh-huh. Literally, why do we have to die?
Of America bad anthems on this one.
I read a review of this. I just kind of Googled MXPX Teenage Politics review, and the website JesusFreakHideout.com.
Oh, we love Jesus Freak Hideout.
Do you actually, have you gone to them before?
It's quite
for stuff?
A resource for this show, honestly.
I feel like it is one of the most consistent websites that like has coverage of all of this stuff that we talk about.
Yeah. What was this a review for this album that you
for
read?
This album? It's like, unfortunately, MXPX is discussed with the United States government is not over yet. As Mike sings in the song Americanism, and then he lists the kind of anti-American lyrics.
Gosh.
It is understandable that our nation is not the same as it was decades of years ago, good one, but it seems rather awkward that a band who called themselves Christians would be so gutsy as to be anti-patriotic toward a land that has more freedom than many may ever know.
Wow. The conflation already between all the ideas.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Ahead of its time.
It's so funny. Like, why aren't you grateful for...
Yeah, I just couldn't believe you could be Christian and not like it.
How dare you?
But this is remarkable then, as far as any of the bands we've talked about, to have an anti-America, anti-military, borderline just kind of anti-government album or songs on anything. It's kind of surprising. So I feel like they deserve a little credit for that.
Sure. No, the lyrics
maybe
are...
that wasn't like flagrant for the punk scene, but it's very flagrant, obviously, for
sure,
the Christian
scene. A big swing. You know, and I think our pals in Five Iron who their early work has aged a little bit better than this. They do some stuff that kind of is critical of, you know, Christianity in America and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yes.
And it turns out they are a bunch of punks in that sense. And isn't it great to live up to the title of your genre? The lyrics for the song that they were referring to, why aren't we against them? Because we know that they are wrong. We're the biggest faction and they've had control too long. Would you die for your country? False freedom and liberty, Americanism, nationalism, bow to flagism, militaristic, egotistic, high class and capitalistic. Just the idea of talking about nationalism in a derogatory sense in the year of our Lord, 1995, 26 years ago. Yes, of course.
Yeah, in our circles, again, like I have to remember that I grew up in just like this such a tiny bubble and that like people have been critical of America for as long as it's existed or whatever. But yeah, again, in this circle, I'm surprised that they still got as much acceptance as they did, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I think that might have spoken to why they drifted as well. They didn't double down on the Christianity. They doubled down on the parts of whatever it was that they were making. They're like, this isn't really for us. Like they eventually are not with Tooth and Nail anymore. They drift over to A&M Records after that and then go to another
one. They did go back to Tooth and Nail for an album. They went back to Tooth and Nail album
they
in like
did.
The 2000s.
There was a little reunion.
Maybe my theory listening to this when the anti-America songs came up, I'm like, okay, I don't know that this is them making a brave stance so much as it is them they're 17 and they're just copying stuff. So maybe there's a more charitable way to read this, but I was thinking, I'm like, okay, somebody got a Bad Religion CD and they're like, we got to do one of these. Thinking about like, we can take down the man with this. I just think they're like, we got to do one of these about how the army is bad. I think everything
and it is kind of an adolescent read of it too, like, I just don't like being controlled really at the end of the day. I just want to be able to do what I want. Well, and then Teenage Politics, that song,
it's
kind of how like, I just don't get it and I refuse to get it. So I don't want to participate.
It has to, the chorus is care. Politics, schmolitics. It's too confusing. Politics, schmolitics. It's too confusing, guys. Politics,
is it time again to disagree about anything, everything, and what's on TV? It's a vicious circle, never ending, a linear equation, worldly extending. I mean, they know who they are, I guess, in that sense. And I could imagine that spiky haired looking creepy Sid from Toy Story doll cartoon mascot.
Sure.
Espousing a similar worldview in that respect. Right. Yeah. Now Powell in the encyclopedia, he kinda goes track by track on some of these. He does say, without too much editorial comment, Americanism challenges political rhetoric. And talks about on Money Tree, he disses higher education as service to materialism with the lyric, four more years ain't right for me, won't let them teach me how to be a money tree. And then in False Fiction, Herrera declares, unless you know Christ, you won't know how I feel. You won't know how I feel. That being the case, the group is nevertheless attracting more of a following from among the masses, and specifically spiritual lyrics were altogether absent on Life in General, as you were talking about. So there are I guess there's a few seeds of what if college sucks? Like, what if it's actually bad?
I don't know. Why do we have to chain us to a desk and teach us to be a sheep and eat grass so they can just use our wool for their fucking tanks? It's like, all right.
But actually.
While we're talking about lyrics here.
Yeah. Please.
I want to talk about the song Study Humans.
Study Humans. Yes. Oh my God, yes, please.
Study Humans, and which is a song that I remember liking. I specifically remember liking, and I think this is a very teenage...
Which sounds like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so...
There's some okay riffs on this. So I think it has this very teenage feeling of like, I'm this other species, and I'm just watching... the kids around me like it was a nature show. You know that mm-hmm. feeling that like, what if like the narrator was narrating like this, like it was a nature show. Like we're all just doing courtship dances and
animals, man. Like Marc Maron in 1999 on Conan. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You guys heard the concept of like human behaviors in a group? I have.
Yeah, you're just, I mean, we're all just following our instincts like a school of fish that are sheep.
And feeling like you're the only one who could see like the ones and zeros in between it all, you know?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's the lyric. I sit and observe this girl named Bri with my eye. So I think that is the worst lyric on the album and perhaps the worst lyric in any song ever.
Wow, listeners, what do you think? Worst.
I was so embarrassed when I heard that. I just wanted to like...
Brie.
I read it as Brie.
I just really clenched when I heard it.
We're disappointed
like, oh,
in that.
Oh no. Oh no.
I when I was listening to this, like I was already kind of having a bit of a stressful day, and so it just felt like whatever was inside my mind was then being projected through my Spotify account.
We zoom in into Caroline's mind and hear just the absolute
So Carolyn, because Kevin, like you listen to like Five Iron and kind of adjacent stuff, but you didn't listen to anything like this.
Not really,
up. Like nothing
no.
that's even in this.
And the horns made it more soft and kind of like clowny and accessible and more melodic overall, like the stuff Five Iron and those other guys did than in MXPX. What were you saying, Caroline, about the stressful day though?
Oh, and adding to it? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, like, my first gut reaction in hearing music like this is just like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Turn it off. This is for torture. But I also, I know that it's like a genre that means a lot to people. It's like, I don't love the horror genre, but I can understand why other people like think it's really cool, you know, mm-hmm. and it can be entertaining. And I was also like, maybe I'm also not seeing the way that they're like, in a cool way, like breaking music, you know, and like making the tempo like too fast, you know, and like adding things that shouldn't be there and doing lyrics that are so off the cuff and like straight out of a journal, you know, like the purposeful unpolishedness of it. Mm-hmm. Or is it just bad was what I was going through. And I just really couldn't tell. So to hear you say, you know, with some respect on MXPX, it was just bad. It gives me a little more confidence in my taste.
And because Carolyn, you didn't listen to anything in this zone.
I loved Avril Lavigne like as a kid, big time. And I feel like I just heard some of the, you know, the biggest hits of pop punk, but I wasn't like seeking it out. No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it is funny though, because like speaking to what you're saying, I think, and I don't necessarily gravitate to the horror genre. There's like a handful I really love and there's a lot that I like, but it's not something where it's like, yes, a horror movie. That's my thing. And there's other genres where even if I don't love it, I understand why other people love it. I understand, oh, this is like activating their pleasure sensors in this way, and it's a thrill, and people like to be scared, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I can enter into the headspace of understanding why someone finds as a tempo pleasurable, like that sort of just like cacophonous tempo. Like just playing as fast as possible, like you know, which encompasses a lot of things, like death metal. And,
but I think it would feel different live too, and I think that's what it was like first made for, probably.
Do you think so? Do you think that's the case, Jordan? Like it's
I mean, I think that's a good that's a good observation, because you know, like I was looking, kind of watching some of their videos, and you know, there's so much like live footage. Okay, also all the videos shot through fisheye lens.
Love it.
And everyone is wearing Oakleys.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of bad neck beards.
So cool.
Oh, Oakley.
But they have a lot of like concert footage with people like crowd surfing and moshing, and I'm like, yeah, I mean I could see that, like, you know, these songs in that kind of high energy environment mm-hmm. probably make a little more sense than just like running errands and feeling like you chugged a cold brew on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what do these boys look like these days in the year 2018? We're looking at a little music video with them now. I mean, this is it. This is what they're looking like. A lot of black denim.
The lead guy also has a podcast that he's been doing for a while. Consistently.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, they look like they're getting ready for a divorce summer.
Big divorce.
Divorcey summer 2021.
No. Yeah.
I know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think his singing got better, too. I was listening to some later stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is nice.
Well, because there's an intersection where it's like people start... You can't help but have melody at some point. And maybe as you age, you're like, wait, I can't just sing like that. Like I gotta put some zhuzh on this, and then maybe you get a little more
get better
in there, and yes, it becomes a little more melodic. Like the Reliant K, even though that's like not natively my thing, I fully get why people love Reliant K.
Yes.
As like a baseline, you know. Like pressing on, if that's your anthem, fully understand.
So fun.
But
these
I'm like, okay. All right, and there's this one.
Uncle Kevin's trying to understand, but I'm not sure.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, Jordan, just the ethos of punk in general. My thesis on it, from even a secular perspective.
Your Matt thesis?
My Matt thesis. I mean, he is a Rhodes Scholar, so it makes sense. Is that there is a lot of, Christianity aside, a lot of like self-loathing and like working those emotions out lyrically. But then when you add Christian elements into it, like MXPX does, that's just like a great Venn diagram of like, I'm a worm theology. I'm born into sin. I'm nothing without Christ. Right. And then it kind of like soars almost as like a thematic in a lot of these songs. Cause there's a few on here where it's like legalistic people suck. Legalism makes me sick.
Legalism.
I love children. I love 18-year-olds railing against legalism. I try to change my attitude, but it's really hard. I'm so sick of you. God is going to pull through. The whole thing bumps me out. Jesus knows my heart. You know, a lot of that. Do you feel like the...
That to me doesn't sound like he hates himself, though. That sounds like...
He hates legalistic people.
I'm cool
people.
And no one understands me.
Wasn't there,
you know?
Wasn't right. there a self-hating yeah. song on this album somewhere? Maybe that's the wrong
that
one.
That I saw.
You know, and I think that's... Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And I was thinking about my mindset. When I was thinking about my own mindset when I was this age and kind of listening to this, and like, it's interesting. Like if you're a secular punk kid and you're listening to A Bad Religion or a Pennywise, mm-hmm. your opinion is like, you know, I'm an outcast. No one gets me. Everybody's trying to make me go to church and drink milk and play football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like these kids are like, you know, nobody understands me. Everybody's trying to get me to drink and have sex and go to college, you know?
Right.
Like, so just, hey, you all feel like that. You all feel exactly the same way. This is not a weird feeling. Everyone feels yes. like that when they're a teen. And I think I did feel like that. I did think I felt like, I'm like, you know, society wants me to like drink and have sex, but I'm not gonna, because
I'm not gonna conform to fun.
Right. So I think just when you are 14 to 17, you just kind of feel like that. And, it just kind of gets interpreted in different ways by these various bands.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
What a good perspective on it. Anything else we want to talk through this album about? Any of the songs, any of the lyrical content we really need to hit before we give it a rating of some
sort?
There
was so much. It was like hard to even get through it all,
it's
you know?
Long. You mean 19 long. Songs is too
like,
much?
They were
for
prolific, you know? I got to respect that these guys like worked hard, you know? They put a lot of, well, I don't know, they could have worked a little harder, but they just put a lot of work into this album. There's a lot of stuff on here.
Yeah, good for them.
I appreciate that.
All right, well, the way this works, Jordan, is that we're going to give it a roast or a toast. A holy roast, we send it to heaven. Let's do the gentle one for this one. We send them to heaven and we say, yeah. Holy roast, that's when we thumbs down, send them to hell and say, no. Or if we want to do purgatory, we can send them to the space between. And we'll start with our punk pop scholar, Caroline Ely.
Punk princess. Wow, what a roast for me. Unfortunately, I do think that they got better, but this was painful. It was tough. It was tough on me ears. I tried.
Wait, to tell you, tough on my ears.
If we're being, you know, 100% honest, I did not listen to every song. I listened to a quarter of them, maybe, and I read the rest.
But
and
see,
I
then you also, but you've be, also listened to all of them.
Yeah, so. Yes, I did. You listen to one, you listen to them all. But I did read all the lyrics, and I will say, as lyric writers, I respect them a lot. And also as anti-capitalist, anti-military people, I also respect them a lot. They were doing that way before I ever did, and mm-hmm. and for that reason, I got to hand it to them as well. But they are still going to hell. So
it would be fun to do for someone to write some sort of article where it's a sort of roundup or cataloging of all the punk ethos that sounded so childish at the time, that, you know, children like this at 18 were like, society, man, and college sucks and capitalism. And then you become like a 30 something progressive in LA, and you're like, actually, here's an infographic, and Nithya Raman also affirms the blah, 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 and you become a part of that in your middle age.
Right, I mean, it's right. So
we turn it to Jordan for his rating.
Yes, this was also tough on me ears, and you know, and I kind of thought it would. I thought I would have some kind of fun nostalgia feelings about it, but this dredged up the feeling in me when you remember something you did as a kid and you're embarrassed about it.
Wow! Oh no! Well, that's good Christian fun.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh boy, and I think just those kind of like misplaced teenage anger feelings. Mm-hmm. I remember having those and thinking now, looking back on them, how dumb they were. I mean, obviously, it's part of being a teenager, and you can't help it. But like, oh boy. So yeah, I will say that I think they got better. They do their own thing. I think they have a song called "I'm Okay, You're Okay." That if someone told me that's the best '90s pop punk song ever written, I think you could make a case.
Ooh,
it's very
maybe
good.
We'll close the show with that then.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, I think that's a good example of kind of where they went and they figured out their own thing. But as far as this album goes, ooh, it's a big toast. It's a big old toast and jam.
Or roast. It's a roast.
A roast. Excuse me. What's the bad one?
Yeah, roast is the bad one. No, I don't know how you couldn't memorize this perfect, not confusing system, Jordan.
Where both things are getting hot. So
where it's like there's a one letter difference. Yes, and both things are getting hot.
It's two ways to make something hot.
Toasted like clink, like cheers. Like angels, but you know what? You're right too.
It is a roast. It is a fat, juicy Christmas roast. pains me to do it a little bit, but
little Tiny Tim's at the table and
Tiny
everything.
Tiny Tim's, yes. Well, God bless us, everyone.
And let me make this a perfect Irish trifecta. It was hard on me ears too.
Me ears.
Holy roast, holy roast. Send them to the bad place. Yes, affirm and agree with everyone you said. And I was trying to do the math and try to figure out what is the gateway into value here. It's so much more fun, I think, to do that on this show than to say, like, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. But hey, we tried. You heard our effort.
And sometimes it sucks, you know?
Not it just for do us. Suck.
And it's okay. But we're not the final vote on it. You can vote on this, dear listener. Go to @ChristianFunPod. Give it a roast or a toast yourself.
Jordan,
perfect
system. Was
that
system. A gasp for democracy?
Yes. Yeah. But you know, it's all a fucking lie, man.
It's
and they're just going to try and put some sheep into a tank and tell them that college is the place
democracy is bad, but vote how it treated your me
Pokemon
ears
go
and Pokemon go to the polls.
Pokemon go to the polls.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Woo. Oh,
Kevin,
boy.
I know the Biden thing that you can put on that on the end of that now.
What's that?
Going around on TikTok.
Oh, it's the it hurts nobody.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's good for the economy.
I said like the first. Yeah, I think that's a good meme.
Man, the problem is, I know it's an alt-right thing. He is sleepy.
He is sleepy, Joe.
He's old. He's old as fuck. He is so old.
It's okay. It's okay to be sleepy. And we want you to walk away with that message today, dear listener. It's okay to be sleepy, no matter what your energy level
you're
is.
You're sleepy. We see you.
Hey. It's okay to half remember a story about Corn Pop.
Yeah.
Being a bad dude.
Corn Pop is a bad dude.
Sleepyhead representation matters. And you're listening to 3 Sleepyheads right now because we're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. And Jordan, we're not here to plug ourselves or promote our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a loving and humble sacrifice. We start, as per usual, with Caroline Ely.
Get sleepy online with me at Caroline's Farts. Cool. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Great.
Everywhere. Ace. I'm going to lift up a song.
Ooh.
Called Ain't That Peculiar by a band called Fanny. It's like a rock band from the 70s. It's a great song. And I'm going to lift up a TV show, The Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO Max. It is so funny and so surprising. Like, there's just so many times that I thought it was really going one way, and it would just totally left field me multiple times throughout that show. It's just really good. And friend of the show is on it now.
Our friend Lacey, of course.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Killing me.
She's on the second season. So catch up. It's a great one.
Yeah, Lacey's on one right now. It's very fun to see. I didn't mean that in a strange way. I know it's summer, but you know. I mean, it's
on
very
one. Success.
Fun to see.
Somebody yes, sounded a little divorced over there.
Hey, whoa, whoa.
Kevin.
Lacey, it's me. Why
oh, no.
didn't you
How
respond
did Kevin
to
end up in a tank
talk
all of a sudden?
Oh, goodness. All right, thanks, Caroline. We turn it to Jordan.
Yes, well, I would like to lift up a project of mine that people can soon consume. I co-wrote a graphic novel. It is called Bubble. It is based on the sci-fi comedy scripted podcast I did for Max Fun. I wrote the script with a great comedy writer named Sarah Morgan, an artist Tony Cliff, who does the Delilah Dirk series of graphic novels.
Just Tony Cliff, no Hinch in front of it, just to be clear.
No, yes, to be very clear. Tony Cliff, a nice Canadian.
Yes, nice man who respects
everyone. Who wants to roast no one.
Yep.
Tony Cliff, a great guy. He does the Delilah Dirk series of graphic novels that are just awesome. Our colors are by Natalie Reese. She does the Dungeon Critters Ooh. Series, also a very good comics series for kids. And Bubble. It's a sci-fi comedy. It's a near future where everybody lives in a bubble city, and they have to kind of participate in this life or death version of the gig economy to survive. And it's a bunch of goofy hipsters who have to fight monsters. I would say that you might call it Guardians of the Galaxy meets Search Party.
Ooh. Yes. Oh, it's so great.
So it was a ton of fun to do. My co-writer Sarah is hilarious. Tony's like such an awesome artist, and it has all sorts of cool fight scenes and gore and monsters and robots. Natalie's colors are beautiful. There's a lot of like alien landscapes, and she just makes them look so like psychedelic and cool and beautiful. And it's coming out on 7/13, and you can pre-order it now. We got some cool stuff that we have not announced for people who pre-order it. Ooh. And that's like a cool, fun thing you can do to really like help a book and maybe help out your local indie bookstore.
Yes.
Hey, help out your Vromance.
Vromance.
Help out your
Vromance. That's your local bookstore now,
I
bro.
I know for a fact it is available at Vromance. You
yes.
can pre-order it at Vromance or
Vromance
whatever,
has a great
whatever your Vromance
section.
Is. Just okay. Give them a call. Tell them you want to pre-order yeah. Bubble. It was a ton of fun to do. I think you'll like it. It's not for kids. There's a lot of sex jokes.
Well, the podcast was wonderful. I'm sure the graphic novel will be wonderful as well.
Yes, congrats, man.
Thanks.
Congrats
yeah.
Yeah, book. Yeah. That's awesome.
Join the Vromans army with Jordan and Phoebe Bridgers, who also was posting about and loves Vromans a lot because she was a Pasadena native at one point. So,
yeah. Oh my God.
The pedigree this has. And what's the last great thing you watched or listened to, Jordan?
Oh, I'll give a shout out to another graphic novel if you don't mind. Ooh. Fangs by Sarah Anderson. It is a very kind of beautiful velvet graphic novel, kind of goth, kind of Tim Burton-y looking. It is the story of a werewolf and a vampire who meet in a bar and they hook up, but then they have a relationship. It is very funny. It kind of plays out like comedy sketches. But it paints the story of a very beautiful relationship.
Hey.
It's like funny and then accidentally kind of meaningful. Maybe not accidentally, I should say, but surprisingly yes. meaningful.
Oops, meaningful.
Yeah. It's called Fangs. It's by Sarah Anderson, and I loved it.
Fangs by Sarah Anderson. Thanks, Jordan. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, including on Peloton. You can add me as Kevin T. Porter on Peloton.
Oh, my gosh.
Weiger got one, too. He's on Peloton now.
You guys Pelotoning? You guys Peloton bros?
Yeah, we are. We are. It's a whole situation now. What a wonderful thing. I will lift up a new sitcom that you should watch called Girls 5 Eva. Renee Elise Goldsberry, funny on that show. Hamilton, all the Hamilton stuff was worth it for her to exist. I mean, she existed before. It's her, Paula Pell, Sarah Bareilles, and of course, Busy Phillips as a girl rock band, like a Spice Girls situation from the 90s. I can't overstate how funny Paula Pell is in it. She cracks my shit up. It's on Peacock, and it might be worth getting Peacock for this show. I was lolling a lot, and I famously hate to laugh, so you know it means something when I LOL. That's nice. So that's Girls 5 Ever. It's one better than 4. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And every review you leave us on Apple Podcasts, we donate a dollar to charity. This month's charity is Rain. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us in the neighborhood.
It's great to be here.
It's a beautiful day.
I can smell the both of you from my living room, and it's a wonderful
stinky
sensation.
Hey, yes. Stinky. Always make sure to stop and smell the rose bowls. That's what we say here in Pasadena, California.
Good Pasadena joke.
And there's nothing left to say except for in all of Pod's people said
amen.
And Jordan, we're going to play that song you recommended. I'm okay, you're okay. And that's going to close
it. Pretty good. It's
and if it's
good
bad, then we'll
this
blame you. Oh, this is already more of a song than anything.
Yes, I hear instruments.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get this. This is great.
Everything all right. Come on. See,
yeah,
and then they, if these guys can get it together,
they
we all
can. Well, yeah, they've turned 19 to 21, and then it locked
right
in place.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.